the volume.
This Sessions is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. They're America's number one sportsbook for a reason, y'all. It's so easy to use. It's safe and secure. That's one of the main things for me. I don't want any BS. I love that there's no BS with FanDuel. Plus, you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours. Plus, it's super fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same game parlay. It's awesome. So if you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with the promo code Renee, that's R-E-N-E-E, so that they know that I sent you. Disclaimer, 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Wyoming, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Or text next step to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777, or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG for Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP for Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY for New York. Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789, and 1-800-522-4700 for Wyoming. Visit www.1800gambler.net for West Virginia. Hey guys, welcome to the Sessions. I have Soraya here on the podcast for the third time, the only time that I've ever had a thrice repeat guest. Is that the word? She's on for the third time. Really great stuff. She's at such a cool point in her career. So I was really happy to be able to have her on to pick her brain. Before we get to that though, I want to tell you guys about a little company called NetSuite. So 2000, 2008, 2022, when it comes to the economy, those are some pretty scary years. The dot-com crash, the housing crash, and of course, you know, the roller coaster that we're going through right now. It is a dangerous time to not know your numbers, but over 31,000 businesses have the confidence and clarity that they need because they can rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. So NetSuite gives you the visibility and control of your financial inventory, HR planning, and budgeting so that you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins, everything that you need all in one space. So how do you prepare for uncertain times? The answer is NetSuite. NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automate your business processes, and easily see where they save money. That's why 93% of customers say that they improved their visibility and control when they upgraded to NetSuite. So what are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. All you have to do is head to netsuite.com/sessions right now. That's netsuite.com/sessions. NetSuite.com/sessions. All right, guys, get on some little NetSuite. And now we are going to move on to this interview with Soraya. Enjoy. Soraya, part three, the only time that there's been a thrice done interview with somebody. But it's crazy to think that, like, okay, the first time you were on the show, you were still signed to WWE. Second time was that time in between when it was sort of like, what's going to happen? What does the future hold? Freedom was just like at your fingertips. And now here you are signed to All Elite Wrestling. We both are. Who saw that one on the old bingo card, right?
Not us, right? Well, first of all, it's favoritism, you guys. I'm on here, as you know. Like, she doesn't really care. It's just friendship thing. She's doing me a favor. You know what I mean?
I always care. Listen, I care about all of it.
No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't.
I care.
She really does.
I'm a carer.
AW social media the other day, I was like, no, you are not going to bury Renee Young. Oh, sorry, Renee Paquette.
It's funny when those slips happen because I'm like so not offended if somebody calls me Renee Young. But I know it's such like a knee-jerk reaction to like say that. Is it like that for you? Still not saying Paige?
Yeah, people backstage at AEW still call me Paige and they instantly like feel bad about it. I'm like, don't feel bad. I had like over 11 years of people calling me Paige. Even I get confused. Like when I was doing the sign-in the other day, like people want me to sign Soraya, which is absolutely fine. But I'm so used to just signing Paige. Or the fans are like so respectful when they come as well. They're just like, do you mind if I still call you Paige? It's just how I've known you. I was like, you can call me whatever you want. You can call me bitch. But I've been called every name under the sun. Nothing offends me like that.
Okay, so a lot has happened since we did this last interview, just in terms of course of you signing to AEW, medically where you're at. You are now like back in the wrestling business. But I think like to me, the main thing to talk about right off the bat is the medical side of things. As soon as you signed to AEW, that really was like the big question mark about the whole thing. I mean, storyline wise, what's happening? I think there was like a lot of that just sort of swirling around. Fans were kind of chomping at the bit about that. And now here we are. So let's hash all that out.
Like coming into AEW, first of all, you know, you were a big part of that because, you know, I was just like, I want to go where my friend goes to. But also it's not like the big picture. But like, yeah, when it comes to like signing with AEW, I remember telling you, I was like, I'm not really 100% knowing what I'm going to be doing there. Mm-hmm. Like I really don't understand. I just know that I'm going to go there to help the division in some way, whether I'm on TV or behind the scenes. Like, you know, I'm just there to try and help as much as possible. Even if the division is doing really well, it could always be elevated.
Of course, it's always good to have other minds and other perspectives on things. You got to kind of look at everything from like a million different angles.
Right. And that's why they got Madison and stuff like that, too, to just like she's part of the show, but she's also a big help from behind the scenes and stuff. So when I came in, I didn't really know like what the deal was. I just know that I was going to be a part of something and we're going to build something special here. But then when I got there, got the great reaction when I walked out and I was like, oh my God. And you cannot throw a wrestler out there and like tell them that they can't do anything else. You know what I mean? Like I came to terms with not being able to wrestle anymore and that's fine. Although I did a couple of years ago, I did do some x-rays and they were looking great. Right. But I didn't do the full MRI, but I did the x-rays a couple of years ago. And it's not like the perfect read on your neck and stuff like that, you know, with the whole fluid thing. But exactly. Yeah. So x-rays just of the bones and then MRI, you can see everything, like all the inner workings of your neck, like the important part, you know, that they can see exactly like how much fluid is around there. Like they can see, it's really crazy how an MRI works and a CT scan too. Like, it's all kind of in the same family, but I was like, I just did the x-rays because I was a little nervous about doing the MRI a couple of years ago. So I was just like, okay, they're looking good. Maybe in a couple of years, I'll start getting, it starts getting better. But I'm like, I'm not going to rush it because Edge was out for like 9 years. Stone Cold had that match with Kevin Owens, but he didn't bump very much. You know, like it was like very limited, but they still had an amazing match. So that was like inspiring to me. And I'm like, man.
With Vince taking that bump as a cherry on top of the whole
thing. Exactly, right? And I was like, man, like I probably could pull off doing a Stone Cold match, right? And that was just like in my head. And I was just like, you know, like, because the match, you wouldn't think that there was an amount, like a crazy amount of bumps because the story that they told was so fantastic. And Kevin's.
And they went all around the stadium. Everything,
exactly. Like, I was like, well, maybe we can do something like that. So I remember like throwing the idea at Tony, and then he was just like, you know, like with Sting coming in, we kind of like, you know, we did tag matches. So he was like, well, maybe we can do some tag matches. And I was just like, you know, if I was to come back, I would want it to be a singles match. So I remember talking to the doctors and they were like, okay, you can do this, but we're not going to like clear you to take a bump. And that's the whole misconception with like how the internet works is, oh, she talked to like 25 doctors and AEW doctor, Dr. Sampson cleared it. He didn't clear me for anything. First of all, I went out there with Britt and we did our own thing. Like I didn't ask clearance from the doctor there. I'm going to be honest. And, you know, and he was cool with it. He was like, just please don't take a bump, right? Not ready to take bumps yet. Anyway, so he was like, if you want to actually have matches, like we have to get you completely cleared. That means MRI, CT scans, everything. So he was just, I was like, okay, well, I don't want to go to a doctor which is associated with wrestling, right? Because I feel like there's a little bit of bias there. And I'm just like, I don't want to make the same mistake where I came back and then I was like wrestling every single day and just like doing all these crazy things. I'm like, no, I really want to be aware and careful of my neck this time around. Like I really want to get to like the nitty gritty of what my neck looks like and how much I can do. And if I'm even going to be paralyzed, because that was the biggest scare, is that if I did wrestle, I could potentially get paralyzed. So Halloween, the perfect day, right? I went to the doctor here in California, one of the best doctors around. He did a bunch of NFL, NBA, all these huge action stars, like celebrities, like actors and actresses and all that kind of fun stuff. So I was like, well, if anyone's going to tell me like, no, like this guy's going to tell me no, right? Because he's fantastic. And, you know, his job is on the line if he just lets someone go back to work. So yeah, I got the x-rays done and he was just like, these are great, but we still have to triple check. So let's get the CT scans, MRI, and he managed to squeeze them in the same day, right? So I went downstairs for the MRI. I went across the street for the CT scan. I brought them back all in the same like hour or so. It was like very quick. And then he sat there and went through them all and he was just like, you're cleared. And I just like burst into tears. I was like, are you serious? So I started asking questions like, what about the fluid around my neck? And I remember seeing my last MRI with the fluid. I'm not saying I'm a fucking doctor or anything, but like I've seen a few MRIs and I'm like, there seems to be fluid around the area. So like, that's why I asked, I was like, what's the deal there? And then he was just like, well, the fluid is back. He was just like, the fusions look perfect. He was like, there's no fractures above and below. There's no issues. I was like, okay, let's talk about paralysis though. Like, and he was like, it's rare. If you get kicked there, he was like, you have some cushion now. He was like, you know, and if you ever feel like you're not feeling too well, he was like, take some time off. He was like, you know your body. He was just like, but I will clear you to get back in the ring again. And I was just like, all right, well, how many matches can I have? And he was like, let's take it easy. You know, we'll do like one match a month here and there, you know, and then gradually start building it up. But yeah, so the long story short, Halloween is when I got like the full clearance. I called my parents. I was crying my eyes out, which I screenshot a picture. I think I sent it to you.
From the doctor?
Yeah. I think I actually sent it to you. And did I? I think I did.
Yeah, you did.
It was like, it's such a beautiful moment. And then Ronnie's there and he's just like, you know, he's been with me the whole time that I haven't been wrestling. So he's never actually seen me wrestle before.
Crazy.
Yeah. So he's just like, I have to go watch you wrestle? Like, what the fuck? And then he's just like, been like, don't do this, don't do that. He was just like naming all these moves. And I'm like, trust me, I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to be like going, you know, absolutely crazy. But I also don't want to be held back either. Like, I'm fully aware of what I can and can't do. No, I'm not going to get kicked in the back of the head again, you know, which was my fault, you guys. Again, that was my fault. And then the first person I texted as well was Mercedes, Sasha.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know that. What was that conversation like?
So I texted her. She was one of the first people I text because I'm like, of all that stuff, like that can mentally fuck someone up to like end someone's career. And a lot of people like pitched us against each other after that. Like all her fans would attack me. All my fans would, well, not all my fans. There's a very small percentage, but they would attack each other and they're always the loudest, right? So like they would just go and at it and they still go at it. And then, you know, they still send me like tweets being like, I'm so happy Sasha broke your neck. And then people are like tweeting at her being like, how dare you end someone's career? You're unsafe. She's not unsafe. It's just, it's an accident. It happens in wrestling. That's what we sign up for. But I told her and I was just like, I just want to let you know. I can probably read the text, actually.
Exclusive.
She was so sweet, too. I just said, hey, sis, I just want to let you know this, since I know this whole thing was really tough on you mentally, but my doctor just cleared me and told me my neck is 100% ready to go. I haven't told anyone else, but I know this will make you feel good. I'm back. Ha ha. And she just like was like, I'm so happy. You know, she was like over the moon and stuff like that. And I just said to her, I was like, I don't want you to feel bad anymore. I had that period of time away and actually was for the best in the long run because I had time to really focus on myself, get healthy, get sober, start branching out and doing other things, you know. And so, yeah, I just felt like it was meant to be. And, you know, my neck healed in record time, you know, it's 5 years and I'm officially back. And I think that's pretty fucking inspiring.
It really gives me like goosebumps to be having this conversation. I mean, you and I have obviously been talking about this prior to this exact moment, but it's like, man, for you to go out, get cleared the way that you did, to now be assigned to AEW and like, shit, the world is your oyster. Like, you are a professional wrestler that can now wrestle again. Like, God, do you feel this like new lease on life to be able to like get back to you?
Yeah, so I thought I was like extremely happy before, but being told like the thing that I've worked my whole life in and being told I can do it again, it just elevated my mood even more. Like, I'm a pretty positive person anyway. Like, I started getting more positive, you know, and just being told and getting that letter. I sent you the letter too.
Yeah.
Where it says she's cleared to wrestle. And I was like, putting out. Framing that bad boy.
And it says like with no restrictions. That's like the big part too, is like no restrictions.
And I was just like, holy shit. And I sent that to you too. And I was like, oh my God, like I cannot believe this. So like, I don't know. After that, I just been so like, over the moon. I'm fucking cloud nine. Like, not only is my life personally working out, but my work life now is back to where I want it to be. And it's like, even more so, like, I'm doing other things outside of wrestling too. And I'm just like, things just work out for a reason. And I'm just happy that I stayed in a good mindset, because if it was years before, I probably would be fucking just, not in a good place.
Yeah. I mean, you know, shit, you and I have been friends for the last decade or whatever, from we first started in WWE, and to see those ups and those downs and all of those things that you have been through. I mean, there's stuff behind closed doors that people don't know that you've been through. There's a lot of stuff that's very public that everybody knows that you went through. And like, to have this victory, to have this like win for you, just feels like it really feels like that, like the world is like repaying you. You're like back in, like, you're back in the good graces.
And you know what's really cool is that we both started doing things at the same time. Remember, we were just like, I love that things are happening for both of us. Like, it was like very similar things as well. Like, we were kind of going through that rut where we just like weren't really doing as much. Like, I had my stream, you had your podcast and your cookbook and stuff like that. But it was just like, you know, we kind of like felt like we were in that rut of like, oh, I feel like I can be doing more, you know?
Yeah. You're kind of like spinning your wheels as it's like, what does the, and you know, when you're growing up in the spotlight to a degree and you're busy doing stuff, that when you kind of step away from that and you're trying to like, kind of find your place in the world again of like, what am I doing? What am I bringing to the table? What does the future look like for me? And you start to look at life so differently of like, what are my other options? What are the things that I'm bringing to the table? And now I think for both of us to be like back in the world of professional wrestling and like the capacities that each of us are, like, I know for me, it feels like, kind of feels like I was like putting a puzzle together and like, I just couldn't get the fucking last piece to fit. It like kind of went, but it wasn't that perfect fit. And now it just feels like everything settled into place the way that it's supposed to.
And I love your role more in AEW because I feel like you have like this more of a character here.
Well, I mean, when I got to get between you and Britt, I don't have a choice.
No, but I love it. I'm like, oh my gosh, Renee should be GM. Like, I feel like you would fit that role so perfectly. And like, you get to have more freedom with how you do these interviews too. Like, just us kind of like switching stuff up. Like, thanks to John, your husband too, though. You know, like, I want to, your husband, oh my God, man, he's been an absolute saint for this whole thing, because after like the first promo, when I kind of was just like, I don't know if I can do this.
Okay, let's talk about that though, because okay, so first things first, before we get to the promo, let's talk about you debuting at Arthur Ashe and like what that moment felt like for you, because you were like, I mean, just from literally the beginning of you being ushered into the building and nobody knew you were there. Secrets are so rare in this company or in this business. I feel like everything eventually gets leaked. So the fact that this was not, and shout out to Muda, because I feel like Muda being there kind of, everyone thought that's
helped us out big time. Like, walking backstage, I'm just like, thank you. You know, everyone just thinks it's, yeah. So people knew that there was someone there, but they didn't see for it was Muda, right? So I was just like, oh, perfect. And they put me in this room, and then, well, trying to get in there, first of all, they gave me like a shirt, like a tennis shirt, and like I had my sunglasses, and then they had like security like all around me, you know. And the only people that knew were obviously Tony and his lawyer, and you, John, Jericho, and Britt, until like the day of, she was still being like, well, are you coming? Yeah. And I was still trying to keep it a little bit secret from her too, because I'm like, I still want to surprise some people, you know. But I was like, so like, I remember just being like, this has to be kept secret. And I remember us talking about it, being like, it would just be such a big deal if this just wasn't leaked. And it was such a nice big surprise. And so, yeah, I got there and then they rushed me through, like, and I had to rush through where all everyone was too, right by catering. Everyone was in the hallways, and then I remember seeing Claudio and Pac, right? I saw them and I really wanted to say hi to them because they're just really nice people. And I remember like not thinking, and I look up at Neville or Pac, and I'm just like, hey, hey, like, you know, like going to say hi. And then the security guard just pushed my head down, just like, no. And then he's like looking at me like, and I turned around for a second, and then he's just like, what the fuck? Like, did anyone else see that kind of thing? You know? And so like, I get shoved into this room. There was no toilet in there, right? And we were in there for a couple of hours. It was fucking hot. There was no mirror. There was no nothing. And there was no food. And so you had to run and go to catering for me to buy some food and stuff. And the room was right where gorilla, which in AW is the go position. So like I couldn't walk out even if I wanted to because people, there was so much traffic there. So I was just like, man, like we are stuck here. And then everyone that came to the door was like cracked a little bit, but you came and you were hanging out for a while, you know, and then John comes said hello, Jericho comes said hello. And then we finally like let Britt know too. And but then the girls didn't know until just before they walked out for their match. I remember being like, okay, bring the girls in. And they were all just like, what the fuck? Like, you know, like Athena and stuff. They were just like, what the fuck? Like, why didn't you tell us? And I'm just like, I didn't want it leaked. I was like, I trust people. I really do. But like, you tell one person you trust, they tell one person they trust, and then it just spirals. So I'm just like, I'd rather...
The old telewrestler.
Yeah, telephone telewrestler. That's exactly what they say. So I'm just like, absolutely fucking not. So, but yeah, like I got too hot in there and like during the match, I just walked out. So I got to see a lot of people before I walked out. And then a lot of people were shocked, like Malenko and stuff. They were just like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm here, yeah.
How about the last minute like stress of knowing if you were going to be able to have Ronnie's music to be able to use Zombified from Falling in Reverse?
That whole thing too, because, you know, Ronnie's label, there's a bunch of people there and then, you know, then legal in AEW. So 10 minutes before I was actually initially supposed to just walk out there, they were just like, Meech came in. Meech is mine and Renee's manager, right? He came in and he was just like, oh, I don't think we can use Ronnie's music. And I'm like, are you shitting me, bro? I was like, absolutely not. Like, I can't just change the music. Like, this is the music. And it's not because it was like Ronnie's song. I'm just like, this is the perfect song. So I was just like, fuck. So then I text Tony and Tony's in the middle of like running the show. Like the show is live right now and he's in the go position at the monitors. You know, he's like fucking 100 miles an hour because people are asking questions. And I text him and straight away, he like got me this group chat with legal and was just like, let's get this song done. And within like 2 minutes, like
done.
Yeah. They come running in there being like, okay, we got it done.
That happened so fast. It went from being like, holy shit, what are you going to come out to 2 seconds later, never mind, everything's done and sorted and thank God.
How did that happen? So I also text Ronnie too. Ronnie couldn't be there this time because he had to do rehearsals because he was about to do a show, right? A festival. So I was texting with him being like, oh my God, babe, like they're not going to let me use the song. And then he was just like, I got this. So he's doing his side. And Tony's doing his side. And within like minutes, they had got it done. So I was just like, oh, thank God. Ronnie was like, let her use it for free for the first one. You know, like we'll figure it out later on. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, thank gosh.
So you walk out, crowd goes fucking berserk. Holy shit. What like was going through your head then?
At first I was like, is everyone going to know it's me because of Saraya, right? And then there's going to be some people that know it's me because of Ronnie's song. You know, like there's a handful of people that know Ronnie and I are together and that's they know his music, you know. So walking out and they didn't see my name at first, I was like, oh, that's like, everyone's like, there's a whole question mark going on out there. It's a choir. And I was like, oh my fuck. And then once I actually, like my name popped up, there was like an initial like yell. And then as I walked out, the crowd just fucking erupted. And I was just like, holy crap. Like this is the loudest people have been for me ever. I was just like, this is so fucking crazy. And this is a second comeback initially, you know what I mean? So, and people don't know why I'm there, but they're just happy that I was there. So like, I come walking down the ramp and I'm just like, how do I do this? I was just like, it's been so many years and you really do like, you forget. Like I've been watching my old matches back. I'm like, I forgot what I even do. I get in the ring and then I'm used to like how WWE had set things up. So like usually babyface is on the opposite side. So I'm like pointing at the heels, like, you know, I'm here, motherfuckers. And then I'm like trying to point to the babyface. I'm like, where the fuck are they? Right. And I'm just like trying to make it look not obvious. So I'm like looking around to the crowd and like kind of scanning. Like, I'm like, where the fuck are they? Where is Tony and Athena? And then like, I'm an idiot and they're right in front of me, you know, where hard cam would be. And I'm just like, oh, there you are. And I'm like, you want to get in here? Like, you know, so it was just really surreal and it was like fantastic. I got back. Everyone was like so wonderful and just welcoming. And, you know, me and Tony scream at each other like, that's fucking Gary. You know, like, this is awesome. Like, this is an incredible feeling. And my phone was like lit up. I was just like, there's no way I can look at this all. But it was all very supportive. Even social media was really nice. until a week later. And then it all kind of turned a little bit. I was like, oh man. And then I remember texting you with the following week and just being like, Renee, I don't know if I can handle this. And you kind of took me off the ledge a little.
Well, let's talk about that, because that is like, okay, so you come out, crowd goes fucking nuts. Everyone's so pumped that you're there. Cut to the second week. You come out, you do a promo. You and Britt are kind of like nose to nose. We now know that that's where things are headed. And you've also not done this for like 5 years. Even when WWE was bringing you in as GM, you weren't there all the time. Like, you weren't out there cutting promos and stuff all that often. So to now be back in this world, which again, yeah, it's a different world. AEW and WWE are run differently. You're thrown in the deep end. We're out there and we're making it happen. And then the fans got up in arms about the whole thing.
And I didn't even think it was like that awful. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I don't think it was that bad. Like, watching it back, I was like, I don't think it's that bad. But there is some fans on the internet where it's like, if you go over to AEW from WWE, they fucking hate your guts. That's it. You're toast. You're dead to them. And they make it known and they go crazy. And I was like, I said to you, I was like, I haven't seen this level of toxicity in a very fucking long time. Like, it is crazy. Like, I can't even look at my social media. I made the rookie mistake of looking at it after the promo and people just fucking buried me. And like, I didn't know what the fuck I was going to say. There's no plan with these promos either. Like, you have to go out there and say whatever, but I also don't know what I'm supposed to say. Like, what am I doing here? Like, what am I supposed to say? Like, what is the plan? I don't know. So I'm just like, oh fuck, well, I can make that revolution. And then like, once I go out there, like, the nerves just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was just like, and I don't want to make excuses for it. I really don't. Like, I fucked up. It is what it is. But I started stumbling my words and stuff.
I mean, saying fucked up is like drastic. It's not like you went out there and said something wrong or bad or like, you know, you went out and it was just like, shit, you've not done it in a minute. And you're just in a new world and you're like readjusting. People are just very unforgiving in those situations.
So unforgiving. Yeah. And they throw away like everything that you've done previously just from that one thing. And I'm like,
no, what's with that?
And other days you used to say I was so fucking good. Like when I was like doing promos against like Charlotte or me and AJ going back and forth, you know, like, or me and Nikki Bella, it was always like, oh yeah, like we love her. And you know, like, but then as soon as I like don't deliver a promo that's 100% to their taste or they just didn't like it. And that is what it is. Like, people can have opinions. They really can. It's just
don't
the way
try
that
to
they,
like chop your head off over it. Like,
dude,
shit.
They try to fucking like fucking, you know, Game of Thrones, or like shame me through the fucking crowd. And I'm just like, calm down. You're like spitting on me, throwing rocks at me right now. Like, calm down. And I'm just like,
so like, what did that all do to you though? Like on like a real level in terms of like joining AEW, joining a women's division with like some women that you've never even met before and circumstances you've never been in before, to now having like the fans not be as like receptive as you would have assumed that they would be.
Yeah, it was, okay, so the girls backstage are fantastic. I never have any issues with them. They were so welcoming, they were so sweet, and they were just like happy that I was there, and they were just really wonderful. And even up until now, they've still been really wonderful. So the whole thing about like toxicity backstage there, I'm like, I'm confused because I haven't witnessed it yet. You know, like the girls have been pretty welcoming to us, right? Like really sweet.
I mean, that also just exists everywhere. I don't know why it's so blown out of proportion as like, that's everywhere. It's not, I don't find it any different than anywhere else, honestly.
I mean, if you're going to be around people 24/7, you're going to have arguments. It is what it is. You're going to shout.
Sure, everyone's competitive. Like, it's just the way it goes.
Yeah, so I'm just like, what I expected, I was like, it's not that bad. It's really not that bad. But the whole thing after the promo, though, I was just like, holy crap. And like, in me, I wish I didn't even say the boss thing. Because like, you know, I feel like they got confused with Triple H. And Triple H has always been a fantastic boss to me. Like, I really enjoyed my time in NXT. I always had the best matches at NXT too. Like, I had so much fun there, and he always did listen to me. So I feel like people got a little confused with that. And it's really like, and I was just trying to do character stuff. It wasn't anything like personal, you know? So I know people already know when I do interviews, like I talk nothing but positivity about WWE and my time there. And you know, I have nothing against them. So like, but people just hung on to that too. And I'm just like, holy shit. Like, I'm like, people just like, I can't fucking breathe. So I got to a point where I was texting you and I'm just like, I don't know if I can fucking do this. Like, did I make a mistake? Like, what am I doing coming back to wrestling? Like, are you serious? Like, I had such a peaceful life before.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is like when you're home and like the community that you've been able to create for yourself and like the Twitch world and like, yeah, you live in a world of like curated peace, essentially. So when you're like thrown out of that, it is jarring to the system to like, yeah, you're like, why did I sign up to have people be mean to me? What the fuck?
Yeah, it's crazy. But like, luckily, you know, Tony is also a fantastic boss, too. So he just kind of like, even if he delivers something bad, he's always like very encouraging anyway. You know, he's just like, oh, I still think it's good. You know, like next week we're going to do something better. And so, you know, he's just always like very encouraging. So I'm like, okay, like that helps a lot. But I talk to you about literally everything. Anytime I'm just like, just let me do it for a second, Renee, you know, and I'll hit you with it. And then even recently I text you like, I'm just like, I feel like I'm not delivering what I can, like 100%. And I just feel like I'm like, I get in my head too much and I'm just like, and I'm not reading social media these days.
Is it so different too when you think of like not only being away from the business for a long time, like, yes, you were signed to WWE up until really recently, but you had not been on the road. You had not been, you know, on camera in any capacity really with WWE for quite some time to now, you know, you go from being like a 25-year-old woman going through your injury, being sidelined, thinking you're hanging up the boots, your career in the ring is done, to now, as like a 30-year-old woman, you're a different person than you were then. You can't just go out and be Paige. That's not the same thing. So it's like, mentally, is that something that you find that you're kind of going through of like, who are you now in this world?
So I have to try and evolve who Paige was. You know, because like, again, like I'm not 25 anymore. I'm not, you know, I don't have my piercings and my gauges in anymore. You know, like I'm not, I even have to rethink my wrestling gigs. I even said to you, I was just like, hey, I like to have my cleavage out, you know, just a little, you know, here and there. But I'm like, wrestling and cleavage? But back when I was wrestling this page, like I would have it all out. We were in double bras to bring these puppies up, right? But
yeah.
I'm just like, I remember texting you. I'm just like, Renee, like, you know, like I'm 30 now, you know. But at the same time, it's just, I don't know. It's just, I've evolved so much. I've matured a lot more, you know, and when it comes to travel, like I want to be in and out of places. Like I'm not one to like go for drinks afterwards and stuff like I used to. I'm just like, or just hang out, you know, like it's not because I'm being antisocial. It's because, you know, first of all, I'm focusing on myself. Like I don't want to even have put myself in a scenario where there is a bunch of alcohol, you know, and, you know, I'm like, oh, aren't you one? Like, I'm just like, no, I'd rather not even, like, think about that. So I'm always, like, you know, in and out as fast as I can when it comes to the shows and stuff like that.
It is, like, a really funny adjustment because I find that for myself. So after the shows, often there's, like, you know, pizza afterwards at the hotel or whatever. So, like, I usually go down because I'm starving.
And they're so great like that. Like Tony plans those things to like keep morale up. He's like, let's have a pizza pie.
It's amazing. No, it's really nice. It's super, super nice. And I like going because I do like to be social and hang out for a little bit. I'm also starving by the end of the night. So I want to like scarf food. But this is mom ass version of me that I'm like, I want to get in, have a quick little hang, but I need to go to bed because when I land, I'm in mom mode now. Like it's so different than being able to like, you ride out a couple hours, you come home. It's like, I don't get to come home and take a nap. I come home and it's like, we're going to the park. We got to go to the grocery store. Like we've got all these things to do. So it is like that like mental shift of like your priorities just change of how you can exist on the road as we are now. It's very different.
Yeah. And like when I come out, I don't have a kid. I have my boyfriend. I have my two dogs.
Kind of
and
same.
I'm trying to like build a career as Saraya. So mm-hmm. like, when as soon as I get home, I'm like, okay, I have these Zoom calls. We have these podcasts we have to do. We have to be in, you know, these meetings to pitch different ideas. My dog's ready to run away from me right now. See? But we're always like planning and doing things and like trying to change and evolve and just like, you know, just run these errands because, you know, you have to get all your shit done before you're like, okay, now I have to fly out again. So, but before that, when I was like, 25, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm only going to be home for a day, but I'm going to not sleep. I'm going to go out and party. I'm not going to wash my clothes. I'll just, you know, get some more, buy some more. Like, I just, like, didn't care about that kind of stuff. I was like, I just want to have a good time. Now I'm just like, oh, I can't possibly imagine not being able to get into bed at 9 o'clock at night. Like,
oh my God, honestly. No, give me an eye cream and, like, a tea and a large water. That's what I want. I want to be hydrated.
Ronnie and I got into bed at 6:30 yesterday to watch our TV shows. I'm just like, I like to be in bed. And then I like to like not look at my phone by the time it gets to like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Because I'm just like, put it aside because I like to be asleep by 10:30, right? An hour before you're supposed to sleep or whatever, you know, you're not focused on screen time or anything like that. Like, sleep is so important to me now and it never used to be. And I feel like that's what helps us.
Keep it coming. The fountain of youth. I'm into it, honestly. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up now with the promo code Renee, R-E-N-E-E. FanDuel has all of your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. You can combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. And with live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started. And the app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. And you get paid your winnings real super duper fast. So sign up today. Use the promo code Renee, R-E-N-E-E, for your no sweat first bet. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Disclaimer, 21 in select states. First online, real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG for Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 533-42 for Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat for Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT for Indiana. 1-877-770-STOP for Louisiana. 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. The TN Red Line, 1-800-889-9789 for Tennessee, 1-800-522-4700 for Wyoming, or visit www.1800gambler.net for West Virginia. Prior to you joining AEW, there were other conversations that you were having because obviously in, you know, all of wrestling, a lot of things have been changing quite a bit. So what were some of those conversations and I guess ultimately the decision for you to sign with AEW?
I was speaking to WWE and I was like, you know, Hunter was just, he was confused why. Like, he thought I just left WWE. And I was like, no, I wasn't like that. But he was out because he had the heart issues and stuff like that. So he just didn't know. And God, he's really sweet and he really is fantastic. And I was just like, I really was like, okay, like, I think I could probably, I remember telling you, I was like, yeah, man, I feel like I could probably go back there. And he was going to make my schedule easier, you know? And I was just like, man, I feel like I could really do that. The thing that swayed me was, you know, AEW is a new, fresh company, you know, and I'm like, oh, I could probably benefit from being thrown into like a new mix. Tony just offered me so much freedom outside of...
I thought you were just going to say, Tony just offered me so much money.
Just offered me so much money. No, because WWE, we didn't even get into money at that point. It was just like, maybe we can do this, you know, there wasn't like a definitive, like, this is the offer, you know, like... But Tony was just very like, he was like, let's do this. And then outside of it, you can do whatever you want. You know, he was just like, I won't ask for a percentage of this. He was like, just as long as you come to work, I'm happy, you know. And I was just like, man, that's really fucking cool. Because I, you know how during the pandemic, I started the Twitch and then at one point the Twitch was getting taken away. But that wasn't Hunter. Again, none of this is Hunter. He'd let people continue with it in NXT, you know? And so like, I was like a little like flustered with that because I was just like, well, what if they don't let me do whatever I want and then I get stuck sitting at home again, not doing anything. And I'm like, I'm 30 now. Like I want to start building a career outside of wrestling. Like I can't just sit around and do nothing like I did for a couple of years. I cannot do that again. Like that shit was... It was depressing at times. I was just like, and I felt like I was a fucking loser. Like, poor Ronnie. Like, there'd be days where I was just so down. And he was like, are you okay? And then he would offer me, like, me being in his music video to make, you know, to make me feel like I was doing something. Or he would, like, want to keep doing all these things. And he was, like, being really, like, he was always motivating me. But I was just like, I just feel like I shouldn't have to, like, rely on you to, like, give me something. My work should be helping me with that stuff, like giving me this even media stuff and doing all these other things. Like I can be a tool somewhere.
It's also really crazy to like, I mean, if I will just rattle off like the accomplishments of things that you've done in terms of like really creating and solidifying what is now the women's division in WWE to now what you're going to be able to do in AEW to like having the movie made about your family, doing Fighting With My Family, like having that stuff, like doing Total Divas, like having all of these moments in spotlights where you are so busy and like really the central focus of so many things, to step away from that, it's like that would fuck anybody up.
Yeah, and I've always been busy from when I was 13 years old and I wanted to, like, you know, get into wrestling and my family's business and stuff like that. Like, I was always 100% in everything I did. I would send out resumes to different companies, got turned down because I was female. You know, it was just fucking, there was always a mountain to climb, but I was always so busy and I was, like, always working somewhere. Like, every week my dad would be like, where are you this week? And I'd be like, oh, I'm going to Spain or I'm going to Turkey, you know. I was just always so fucking busy, nonstop since I was 13 years old. So then that, to come to a complete fucking halt, I was just like, I can't sit around and do nothing. Like, that's not in me. Like, and I want to do stuff. Like, it's not as if I wanted to sit around and just, like, grab a paycheck. Like, I was like, I feel like a fucking bum, you know? And I was like, so, yeah, just having the opportunity to be able to go out now and do whatever I want, whenever I want, you know? I mean, if it's like televised things, I would go to Tony and be like, hey, this is what I'm going to do and this is what we're going to be talking about, you know, just so he can give the all clear for it. He's not going to tell me no, but obviously, you know, they would want, as a business, they want to know the details of what's going on. But they're just so giving. And that's the thing, like, that kind of persuaded me. And the fact, you know, if I can help somewhere with a women's division, then fuck yeah, I'd love to be a part of that. Because the WWE women's division is in such good hands. I'm like, where would I fit in with this? There's so many fantastic female wrestlers there. There's also a fantastic female wrestlers in AEW, but AEW's so fresh.
They're like figuring out like the identity of like the women's division. I mean, the whole company, I mean, God, the company's only been around for 3 years. It's so small.
We could do so much with the women's division. I was just like, man, I would love to be in a fresh place where I could come up with fresh ideas. And, you know, and the girls are so like receptive to them too. Like they're really, really good girls. Like I enjoy working with them. And I'm trying to like make sure none of my words get twisted. You know how words can get twisted?
Oh my God. I know. It's so annoying. It's so stupid.
Yeah. Like I loved working with the WWE girls. I was just there for a really long time and I just wanted something fresh where I could really get stuck in with a new division and help elevate it in any way I possibly could. You know, like it just felt like a new flavor of ice cream.
And that being said, okay, so you're home, you're watching AEW come together, you're seeing the likes of obviously a Britt Baker, of now Toni Storm is there, Ruby Soho is there, Athena is there, we've got Jade really coming into her own, Willow has just signed, I mean God, there's so many women whose names, Jamie Hayter, holy shit, there's so many different women that are there that are great, but like what were you seeing at home watching this division, like what was kind of making you salivate a bit?
Having fresh faces where I can potentially work with was the most important part. Like, you know, there is old faces that I recognize there, but like, I was like, man, like working with Jamie Hayter, it could be really cool. You know, I never got the chance.
You guys know each other prior? Do I just assume you guys know each other?
No.
You're both British? No, you don't. Okay.
But people assume because we're both British, right?
And her name's Paige.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, like this is meant to be. But like also Tony, I just always, like, I knew her before, obviously, but, like, I never got to work her, and I just thought she's one of the most amazing wrestlers, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, man, I would love to work with her in some capacity. It was just, again, a different flavor of ice cream where it was just, like, and I wanted the girls to get even more time because yeah. I know, like, the shows are a little shorter, but I'm just like, we could still benefit from having more time with the women, but also more segments with the women, you know? Because I feel like these ladies are really, really good. They are really good. It's just like a lot of the time, like, you know, you want to give them more of a platform too.
Of course. And I mean, God, if anyone's been there and done that, it's you. You've already done that and had to fight for that. So, you know, it's not a matter of fighting for it. At one point, yes, it was. But I feel like, yeah, now it's a matter of like TV time, great storylines. And I think, yeah, I think that's the big thing is being able to have like really awesome storylines for the girls to sink their teeth into, for the fans to really like sit back and clamor for more of that. which, yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of leads us to Britt Baker. She essentially has been what the identity of the women's division is in AEW. So for you to be able to now be working opposite her and stepping into this thing that she has built, what is like the dynamic of that relationship, I guess? And like, I guess just from you, even before you signed to AEW, to like seeing what she's been able to do there in terms of like the matches she's had, the championship run she had, you know, having like the lights out matches, the unsanctioned matches, like all of these things that she's been able to do.
I feel like people forget, like, before the 3 years, she was wrestling and stuff like that, but she kind of got thrusted into the spotlight. Whereas, like, if someone just instantly got signed to WWE and then instantly got put on the main roster without, you know, going through the, okay, how do we work these hard cams? How do we do these promos? How do we do, like, you know, that's what people in NXT have to go through. So the fact that she was able to jump in and she was learning as she was going too, I find that really fucking cool. And I feel like she doesn't get her flowers enough when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because, you know, she said to me before, she was just like, I've been learning these promos on the spot. Like, I've been asking, like, you know, the guys, like, how to do certain things, like inflections, facials, like everything. She was like, because I was not used to working the cameras and doing promos to these big of an audience, you know, and just, so I just feel like that's really cool and inspiring that she kind of just got thrust in there and she's doing such a great job. And you can tell that she's comfortable in her role now. Like, she's really, really comfortable in her shoes and where her character's going and what her character should and shouldn't do. And it takes people a long time to do that, but it's only been 3 years.
I think it's very easy for people to go, oh, that person's good at what they do. But when, like, you've been there and you've done that and you understand, like, it truly does take a long time to become so seasoned at doing that. And she's done it in such a short amount of time is very impressive.
Well, I said the same to Sonya, because contrary to that promo, I was pretty good at doing freaking promos before and I was comfortable with them, right? So, like, Sonya, before we go out there to do Absolution stuff, she'd be like, how are you so comfortable? And I'm just like, one day a flip will switch and you just become comfortable. It's crazy. But it took me years to even get to that. So, like, and one day Sonya was like, text me, and she was just like, a flip switch. She was like, I just feel so much more comfortable. She was like, I don't know what it is. I just, one day you just realize, like, this is who I am. I'm comfortable with being who I am, and I know what direction my character is going. So the fact that Britt came in, got shoved into the deep end and was like learning as she went, but got really comfortable really quick of who she was, that's talent. And a lot of people don't have that confidence that she does after, you know, a couple of years.
Okay, so now as we get ready for you to wrestle again, where is your headspace with that? How is your style going to change? Given the circumstances, I know that you are fully cleared without any restrictions, but I assume some stylistic changes might have to come into play, at least as you're kind of getting your feet wet again.
I wasn't too crazy before when I wrestled, right? I would do a lot of like mat work and all that kind of stuff, but I did love taking a bump. Like, that was my favorite thing, is to take a bump. I'm not going to be bumping like crazy. There is going to be bumps. Like, I can't just go into a match with like zero bumps, you know. But I'm fully aware of stuff that I can't do when it comes to anything from behind. Like, that's more of like a PTSD thing too, where I'm just like, please don't do anything from behind. Like, that's something like I would absolutely not tolerate. That would piss me off. I'd be like, you know, like, until I'm fully comfortable with something, like, don't do anything from behind when I'm not aware of it. Like, if there was something you could have cool, like, I mean, a fucking forearm across the back and stuff like that, I'm just talking about a fucking kick or something like that, something that could easily, you could lose control over. I'm just like, that's the thing, like, I'm a little cautious of. But for the most part, you know, there is, like, the bumping and stuff like that. Like, I'm doing some training and stuff around California right now. The bumping and stuff is, like, a little bit different. You know, I have to adjust the way I did it because I was a person that used to just fling my body back and it would be, like, mostly neck, you know? So I have to learn how to, like, flat back bump properly without absolutely creaming myself. Or killing myself. I don't want to say that.
Yeah, right? God.
Absolutely killing myself. Yeah, so
do you feel nervous? Like, do you feel nervous to have this first match?
Well, it's the same with the promo, right? It was like my first promo back, no script. Everybody was watching because they wanted to know what I was going to say. It was a big moment. This match is a big moment. People haven't seen me wrestle in 5 years, and they've only seen me wrestle in a WWE capacity.
Time to get Brittany Knight back, bitches.
Yeah, bring Brittany Knight back, you know, like the old gypsy queen, as Moxley called it, right?
Yeah.
So again, I wanted to thank your husband because he's been so hands-on after that promo, you know? You too. Like, the whole thing, like, you know, last week with the interview, you two were just like brainstorming off each other. And I'm just like, fuck, I feel like I'm having like a brain fart. I feel like I can't think for myself. And you and John are just like, we could be like, boom, 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 you know, going back and forth. And I'm like, you two are just mom and dad. You like to call them. They're fantastic. Like, duo, just very creative, very, very creative together, separately, but also together. Like, you two could run a fucking wrestling show. Easy.
It's funny how much wrestling we talk about now, because as much as like, I didn't have to think like that in WWE. I learned a ton from being there and understanding psychology of things and why certain things happen and blah, blah, blah. But it's funny. I don't even think I fully understood how much I understood until now, being kind of like thrust into this position, because as much as I get to do on-air stuff, I also get to work as like a producer too. So it's really cool to like, it's funny how, yeah, just like how my brain thinks about it differently. But John and I, like,
you do it very quick, God, though.
I know.
You're very quick. And that's the thing. Like, you'll be like, all right. And then I'll be like, all right, we're going to have to change this. So what are we going to do? And then within minutes, you and John are like, we got it. This. And I'm just like, damn, what the fuck? You know, and my head isn't in that space that, like, and I have to like retrain my brain like that. Cause again, it's been so many years. Whereas, like, you know, you and John are always together and it's like he's always talking about wrestling and you're always going there with him. So, like, I'm like, man, like, I wish I spent more time like still watching it, because when I took a step back from it, it was kind of like difficult to watch. So I was just like, I need to like wash my hands a bit for right now, you know? And so like, but I wish I was just, you know, cause I didn't know where I was going to be in like 5 years.
You had no idea. And sometimes you just need like that palate cleanser. Like, I'm like that sometimes when like I'm around it all the time. Anyways, like you said with John, it's almost like through osmosis. It's here. It's happening. Like, I'm not around it. But there's times like when he is gone doing something, I'm like, I just need to fucking watch like You've Got Mail. Like,
I need a palate cleanser yesterday.
A second. Like, exactly. Like, I'm like, oh my God, just let me like not think about this for a second. But it is really fun to be like back in that creative headspace and like when we were doing that promo, it's like time was not on our side for that. So it was like, okay, what are we going to do here? How are we going to make something happen in this like small capacity of what we're going to do? And we did what we could.
They gave us 2 minutes to try and do this promo, which we ended up doing this week in the ring instead, because we just felt like it was something that should be done in front of a live crowd. We didn't tell Tony that until after we did it, though. Luckily, again.
Well, but you know what we didn't think about? Because when we were talking about it before, it was like, no, this should be like an intimate kind of moment. But then it wasn't that. And you figure shit out as you go. You know, you got to just be able to like adapt and figure it out as we go. And it's not always easy.
So we had like 2 minutes for that whole segment. I was just like, how the hell are we going to tell like a good sit down story with that? And then John was just like, it's like a sit down interview. It's kind of like, you know, you go to a restaurant, you sit down, you take your time, you eat, you know, you just sit there for a while. But then there's a to-go option.
Interview.
Yeah, he was like, it's not a to-go interview where you go there, pick your meal up and walk out. And I was just like, oh my gosh, yeah, that's fucking genius. Like a sit down, you expect like time with that. So only having 2 minutes, we were just like, okay, let's switch this around. And this kind of reminds me of the days in WWE too, when me and the Bellas were going out and Emma, and they gave us like 2 minutes or whatever for this match. And we were just like, that's not enough time to tell the story. Let's switch it up. And then, you know, and then like something ended up trending, you know, and the girls end up getting more chance. But like, it's just the small things like that that can make the biggest difference.
Absolutely. No, it's really cool. It's such like an exciting time. Like, I am obviously pumped to be there. I'm like beyond fucking thrilled that you are there, that you are wrestling, that you are cleared. Like, honestly, when you came out at Arthur Ashe and I was not working for the company yet. I mean, we knew it was going that direction, but like, I was just there as a fan. And to go out there when like your music hit, like I was like, oh my God, am I going to cry? Am I crying right now? What's happening?
Standing on the boxes with your phone.
I got yelled at for that. And they're like, bitch, get down.
You're like, not today. Not today.
I almost work here. Let me do it.
I was like bummed that I missed your debut too, because it was in Canada and I had to go to the UK. But I was just like, I'm so excited. I wish I was there to like see it, because you got such a great reaction too. Like, hometown girl walking out there, like, you know, and people are genuinely happy to see you in AEW. Like, I feel like mostly it's been really positive. Obviously, you're going to have a handful of people that are just dickheads, but I'm just like, for the majority, I mean, it's way more received than when I first fucking came. Like, people really just genuinely know that you're just fantastic.
Bitch, don't jinx it. Don't
oh, yeah.
Jinx
it. No, actually, give us some shit. Humble her real quick.
Okay, so what do you see this run looking like for you? Like, when you have you thought about that? Like, it's such new information, kind of, that, like, now you know that you can wrestle and you know, like, that is what your job is going to be for the next however long. What do you want that to look like? Like, what are some matches that you really want to have? Like, what are those bucket list things for you now?
At first, it's like more of a comeback story. You know, like, it's official comeback, like, you know, and just being in a completely different mindset of what I felt like I should have done the first time I came back. There's plenty of women there that I want to have matches with eventually, you know, and I do want to do the stipulation matches I didn't get to do in WWE that the girls get to do now. But then also, like, work on more character work as well, like, try and build, you know, I'm not completely let go of Paige, but, like, a more elevated version of her, you know. So, yeah, there's just so many things that we could do now. Like, we have such creative freedom that I'm like, man, like, we get to really sink our teeth into a lot of things now and really think about a lot of creative stuff we could possibly do.
Is it almost like, I don't want to say, like, more stressful is not the word, but I think, like, because there is so much creative freedom with it, you're like, man, what am I going to do with this creative freedom? You don't have someone saying, like, this is where you have to get. These are the parameters in which you're working. Like, you really are in the driver's seat with this. Like, that is a lot of pressure.
Yeah. And again, it's like starting from scratch too. Like, now I have to rebuild a character and I'm not 100% sure, like, what she's going to do or where she's going to go. I know the idea she wants, you know, but, like, in WWE, like, I knew my character. I knew Paige. I have been doing her for years. I was doing, like, you know, doing that, and then obviously getting people, like, writing scripts, and then again you can switch and change whatever. But now I'm just like, well, who is Saraya? You know, and so I kind of have to, like, start from the beginning again. It's crazy. At 30, it's fucking wild.
First of all, you're a young 30, especially when you've not wrestled for a bit. You kind of still are, like, 25, but you're just, like, the more, like, refined, mature version of that.
Yeah, I'm just a sober, like, you know, way, way less flexible there. I'm, like, really mad about that. Ronnie was like, we need to get you in the gym and being more flexible. I'm like,
don't we all?
He was just like, yeah, he was just like, we should start going to the gym again, you know, because, like, we were doing the gym, like, 6 days a week. But the past month, we haven't been doing anything.
Yeah.
Because we've been busy, first of all. Like, he's been doing all these things for his music and stuff. And, like, I've been at AEW. But it's not an excuse. Like, I have days off in between. Like, I could potentially go back to the gym, you know.
You'll get there. You'll do it. It'll all be great. Well, dude, I'm so, like, so, so happy for you, honestly. Like, to just see you from literally day one when we met at NXT to, like, the ups, the downs, this happening, that happening, you know, being off TV, being away from everything. Like, it's so awesome to see, like, where you're at, to see that you're medically cleared, you were signed to AEW, and, like, holy shit, this new lease on life for you. And, like, the future is yours, dude.
It's going to be good.
All right, guys, this has been Saraya. She is back, bitches. Everybody can be put on notice. She is there in the women's division, going to wrestle, 100% cleared. Here we go. Thanks, Tony. All right, a big thank you to Saraya for hanging out with me yet again. Honestly, I mean, I could not be more excited for her at this point in her career, and just all the things that the future can hold for her. I think it's such an exciting time for her personally. It's a really exciting time for wrestling, and I'm certainly excited that I get to be there as well, that I get to work alongside all these awesome people and really kind of reconnect with my own love of wrestling as well. So it's great all around. Thank you guys, of course, for listening to this episode. Thanks to Saraya for hanging out. If you guys want to hear any more of these great episodes, there's episode 1 and 2 that I already did with Saraya as well. So if you kind of want to do a little roll back in time with those, you can. But there's tons of stuff, obviously, on the sessions, on wherever you guys listen to your podcasts, and more stuff here on YouTube. Bye-bye.